Hey, welcome everybody. As you know, for this month we've been focusing on social, emotional, and relationship fitness dementia. There are two things that I wrestled back and forth with about tonight's coaching session, and I think I'm erring in favor. First off, I want to hear about your own experiences. I want to hear about your thoughts and experiences around building strong family narratives and what you've either done personally or inside your family or what you've got planned. I'd like to hear about your experience, your action items around toxic and corrosive behaviors, and then these six elements. To be able to recognize and make some changes around our own behaviors and really get implemented with some positive building. I'd like to know what you've experienced and what questions you have. What, John and Cammie, because you were up first, why don't we start with the two of you on either one of those topics? What have you done? What do you plan to do? What questions do you have? Probably in that order. What have you done? What do you plan to do? And what questions do you have?
Okay, so I hope I understand this. So, just to give you a little background. So there was a time period when our oldest son was really struggling. Like he really didn't want too much to do with our family. So, I remembered what brought my family together, and that was playing games. So we started this playing games, and we kind of got him coaxed out of his room to join us, and it became a very enjoyable thing. Later, he had some more, he actually was gone from our family for a while, and when he got back, the very first thing he wanted to do was to sit and play games. So I have continued that. I don't care what I'm doing. When my grandkids, we have two grandkids that come every day, and we make a time to play games. And the other thing that we did was to read out loud. So we read books out loud together as a family. So those were two action things that we did with toxic relationship that really had some good results. Now, as far as the future, right now our family's scattered. So one of the things that we do is, of course, we have a family reunion, and it just happens to be that we're going to be focusing on ancestors on my side. And so that is a key element, and we're gonna really try to continue these every year. John's family had them every year since 1978. So.
This will bring about such a positive thing. Look, as we talk about playing games, it's akin to, remember, one of our six things was increase the quality and the quantity of your openings. It's that engagement. Let's get engaged more frequently and with better quality. That's exactly what game playing together is. It's not the same as an electronic game that you're playing across the internet or something else with others. It's when you gather together around that table and you play card games or board games, and it's the interaction because it's the openings, it's the engagement portion. So this is just brilliant, Cammie. Increase the quality of openings through gameplay, and that increased the quality of them. I love that. And family reunions where you focus on telling the stories of ancestors, making sure we know their stories. Now, sometimes we can look at an ancestor maybe from the even as far back as the 1500s or the 1700s, and maybe they didn't leave a journal, or maybe no one around them left a journal. Well, we can still tell their stories because of the time period in which they lived. We know and where they were born and the geography, we know the stories of their place and time. So we can tell the stories of their place and time and talk about what they were experiencing. So I love that, Cammie. Thank you very much. Let's see. Annie, are you with us? Are you on? Can you unmute and talk? Okay, that's probably not going to happen with Annie. Sydney, Susanna, I don't know that you got as far last week as our six elements that will help to elevate the quality of our relationships. I think you were on only as long as, the four horsemen, the things that are destructive of relationship ends. But what about you? We talked about building strong family narratives, and then we identified these four horsemen that destroy relationships, and then things that we can do to strengthen them, including recognize when we make an error and acknowledge them. Recognize when somebody else does something positive and celebrate it. We talked about smiling. We talked about increasing the quality and quantity of our openings, among others. So, Sydney, what about you? What are some of the things that you are doing in your family, you and Braden? Is Braden with you?
He just went to go put the girls down.
Okay, so let's start with you. What are some things that you are doing around some of the things that we've explored this month? What have you done? What are you planning? And what questions or observations do you have?
Yeah, so you're right. We had some baby issues last week, so halfway through. So one of the things that I've been thinking a lot about, though, are those same things like the four horsemen, defensiveness, and all of those. And
Yeah.
so I've been trying to better recognize that in myself and be able to recognize and then change my behavior when I'm starting to see that that's the
Awesome.
case. And then going forward, I think one thing that we're trying to do always is communicate better and spend better time with each other, like Debbie was talking about. Because
Yeah.
we both work and Brayden goes to school, and it's by the time we get home, it's exhausting, and sometimes I don't want to go play dolls or whatever. So, but we're trying to, set aside at least a little bit of time every day to do that together as a family.
Oh, that's delightful. And again, it doesn't have to be hours on end when they're at that age. What are they, 3 and 2? So when they're at that age, even a quality 10, 15 minutes, even a quality 5, but 10 or 15 minutes is ideal. Finger puppets, reading, reciting poems, all of those things are fun things. And one of the things I know as I've observed Ryan, she's a great mimic. Sometimes when she is at our home and I'm doing exercises, she wants to do what I'm doing. She's a great mimic. And so to include her in that is a good opportunity. Well, those are awesome. And those are things that we can do to continue to build and strengthen our relationships and make them even more compelling and more powerful. So I'm pleased to hear that. Now, look, today I've got you might not be able to read this in the camera. This is my M pin. It's for Magellan Health. So I've spent today with Magellan Health. Magellan Health insures or covers 1 in 10 Americans. 1 in 10. So 10% of all Americans are touched, covered, supported by Magellan Health. And they reached out to Griffin Hill to say, we need what you've got. Now, I just spent a half a day with them helping them to understand some very basic fundamentals that you have access to, that are really part and parcel, not just of sixth dimension, but they are part of what this particular dimension is all about. Social, emotional, relationship fitness. You've got it available in the form of our Griffin Hill Integrity Sales Basecamp course. Now, much of that, and this is what I would like to focus on for just this little piece of our coaching session, and then we'll wrap up. If you can just think about the validation play. So, has anybody studied deeply enough that you know what the validation play is? Cammie, I know you've been in.
I have to have my memory refreshed on that.
Okay.
Validate, to validate, you validate what the person you're listening to them, and then you kind of repeat back and validate what their concerns or what their needs are. Is that right?
Okay, you're on the right track, and you particularly hit kind of the psychologist view of validation. But in the course, there's some specific things that we would want to focus on. Sydney, is Braden back? If he is, maybe I'd pick on him.
He's not back quite
Okay,
yet.
so here's the validation play. Let me give you some rules about it. Number one rule. You use the validation play whenever, and I would say every time, someone does something favorable. Now, we normally talk about that as in terms of someone makes a statement favorable to your position. That's sometimes how we couch it in the Griffin Hill Integrity Sales System. Whenever and every time someone does something favorable to you or does something, says something supportive of your position, you're going to run the validation play. Now, that's the first rule. The second rule is when they do things that you would rather they not do, or when they do things that detract from what you're trying to accomplish. So we're thinking of children, spouse, those that are around you. Then you're not going to run the correct them play. You're going to run the ignore play. I'm just going to ignore that behavior unless they do it 3 times or more. And then you're going to take that ignore play, and instead of ignore, you're going to treat it as a correction or an instruction or an overcoming the objection play. But let's come back and focus on the validation play. As you think about validation, what we're validating is the human being. We're not validating the behavior, we're not validating the statement. We're validating the human being. So the way we validate the human being is, you are so kind, you are so nice, you are so helpful. What is it we want to validate about their behavior or about their comment? You are so smart, you are so intelligent, you give good examples. What is it we're trying to validate them for? So validate the human being, not just the behavior and not the comment. Now, it's easy to validate behavior or a comment while invalidating the human being. So, John, if you were to say to Cammie something like, "Wow, I just love what we're doing together in sixth dimension because we're growing together and we're learning things together." Well, that's a very positive statement. We're shaping our relationship together. That's something that Cammie might want to validate. Oh, John, you're exactly right. being able to spend time with you in this way is rewarding to me, and I enjoy it very much. That's a good validation play. But there's a way to validate the statement while invalidating the human being. She could just look at him and say, "Well, duh, of course you'll want to spend time with me." So, Cammie, if you made that statement, what would you be saying to John, really? Well, duh.
Yeah, well, I guess.
Belittles my thought, man.
Yeah, it would be littling the person.
Yeah, exactly right. And remember that that's what, when we got to contempt, anytime we put somebody else down or we try to elevate ourselves above the other person, that's contempt. And that is chief among equals of the four horsemen that we were talking about. So really, we invalidate the human being while still validating the behavior or the comment. That's why we're not validating the comment or behavior, we're validating the person. Oh, John, you're exactly right. John, you nailed it. Your instincts are right on. John, you always say the right thing at the right time. You're really good at that. That's what we want to do. And we want to do this whenever they're making a statement that is, remember, we talked about increasing the quality and quantity of openings. That means initiating engagement. Anytime the other person that we care about in our lives, a child, a spouse, others, engage in behavior that is inviting of stronger relationship or supporting of us in our relationship. Anytime they make statements favorable to the relationship or supportive of us, we want to validate them. Now, Sydney, why is it we validate the person then? What, in terms of this today's dimension, today's discussion of social, emotional, and relationship fitness, what does validating another human being have to do with that?
I think it helps make connections both for you, so you can identify what value you can see the good in the person instead of just the idea or whatever. And also then they feel more connected and at a deeper level with you.
Oh, Sydney, you are absolutely brilliant. You nailed this. Your instincts told you exactly what this is. It's twofold. The first thing that it does for us is it helps us to learn to recognize, and when we recognize and then validate, we get more of it. This is, some people would call this the secret in terms of social relationships. It's really simply the law of return. When you treat somebody else like that, validating them because of their support of you or their invitation to a stronger relationship, what you get back from them is more invitation to tight-knit relationship, more support of your behaviors. So that you acknowledge that, Sydney, will help you with children, with spouse, and other important relationships in your life to grow them, to make sure that you make these relationships tighter and stronger than ever before. That's exactly what the validation play does for you. It gives back more than what you gave by acknowledging. The second thing that it does, as you taught us just now, is it builds up the other person. They feel good about themselves. So now we're talking about social, the social interaction, emotional. It elevates them emotionally, and then relationship fitness. It makes them feel more secure and safe in the relationship. That's why we validate the human being, the person, and not just the behavior, the activity, or the comment or the statement. Now, so this goes along with our discussion last week of let's avoid those four horsemen and let's build on activities that elevate. One of the things that we said here is do this kind of validation activity frequently and specifically. Frequently and specifically. Look, if you did not get all of coaching session last week, you're going to want to go back and make sure you watch all of that. It should be life-changing information. Watch it with someone that you love and care about. As you do so, talk about it together, counsel together, so that you can both look for ways to avoid the four horsemen that will destroy and kill relationships, while also simultaneously looking for ways to take advantage of those six things that will grow and develop relationships. Well, so Cammy, I'm going back to you here. We say do this frequently and specifically. Cammy, what can you do to make sure that your validation is specific?
Well, I was thinking of my granddaughter. She kind of had a low self-esteem, and she is an excellent organizer. So whenever she, I always praise her specifically and say, wow, you really outlined that well, or you did this well. And I think another component of this is you have to be so sincere, because if you're not and you're trying to validate somebody, it's going to blow right back in your face.
Wow. You hit, again, two important things. We're on duos today. Cammy, you just hit one of the other rules associated with validation. It's not vain flattery. Vain flattery is to be eschewed. It's to be avoided. It's to be eliminated from our lives. It is surface and it is not substantial. That's exactly why we get specific. Because it is when we say, you are very bright. Okay, so I'm going with that. You're very bright. And then I'm going to do this in terms of feature advantage. You organize, as evidence that you are very bright, you organize that so well. Now we're going to get to the benefit. Cammy, Leva, stay unmuted here. What would be the benefit for this grandchild of being bright and being able to organize things so well? What's the benefit to this grandchild?
Well, the benefit is that it builds her self-esteem, and it also is a way for her to contribute.
Okay, good. I'm going to go with contribute here. It builds her self-esteem when you validate truthfully, honestly, which you're going to do here by saying, you are so bright. You organize that so well. When you organize things like that, you'll be able to organize projects and people so that you can make a contribution to the world. Your ability to organize so well is going to help you to become an influential leader.
Yeah.
So that's benefit. I can organize people. I can organize projects. It's going to help me to increase my influence in my future, in my life. And now we want to add a proof of that. What proof do you have, Cammy, either in her life or in her mother's life, that being able to organize people and projects, things, leads to influence and leadership skill? What evidence do you have of that from this child's mother's life?
Okay, so her mother has to work 10-hour days. And so the daughter goes home and she organizes dinner. And so that when her mother comes home, then the dinner is started and she's got that ready. So that is
what a delightful proof. Honey, it's exactly what you do. When you organize dinner for the people in your family that you love and care so very much about, it's an illustration of your capacity to to have influence on their lives and to be a leader. Cammy, that's exactly what we mean. That's why we get specific. Because when the spouse or the child or the grandchild hears our validation, our specific praise of them, you are very bright. You organize that so well. As you continue to develop your organizational skills, you'll be able to organize people and projects, things, so that you have a positive influence on their lives. It will help you to be a good leader in exactly the way you're doing right now. As you organize meals so that things are underway, you're having a positive influence on those that you love. This is good leader behavior. Now, Cammy, what just happened there? It wasn't just that we elevated a child's self-esteem or a child's self-efficacy. What happened there in that exchange?
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this, but I think it's opening her eyes to see what her capabilities and where her talents are and her potential and how she does contribute. I mean, that's really important.
Yeah, so we do elevate her self-esteem. We do elevate her self-efficacy. She feels better about herself, and it gives her a specific illustration, model of how she can continue down that path to grow and develop and become. And all of that strengthens her capacity as in social, emotional, and relationship fitness. What happens to the relationship, Cammy, between you and grandchild when you validate the grandchild frequently and specifically in that way?
Oh, we become best buddies.
Exactly right. You become best buddies. And you know what that means? That means grandma has influence with that grandchild. It means she'll listen to you. You've made deposits in the emotional bank account with that child. And that entitles you to make withdrawals. It means you can do hard things together. It means you've earned the right. So just from the Griffin Hill Integrity Sales System Base Camp, I wanted to point out the power of the validation play as we use it frequently and specifically to strengthen relationships, to give back even more to us than we give as we validate the human being. Would you all just take a moment and reflect and write? What did you garner from that little example? And how will it help you to strengthen your social, emotional, and relationship fitness? In the context of 3 to 5 ideas that come to your mind, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to commit to do in your closest relationships? Children, grandchildren, spouse. Take a minute, reflect, and write. After you've, Joanna, it's good to have you. It looks like you don't have microphone on, or I'd have you unmute and share with us. I'll go, Sydney, to you. As soon as you've had a chance to reflect and write, where did you hear something that stood out to you? One idea, as soon as you've had a chance to reflect and write about that, we'll have you jump in and share.
Well, I think one of the things for me that jumped out is making sure that I'm validating the person and not the idea, because, you know, that's, I think, forces me to be a little bit more genuine, yeah, and a little bit more thoughtful and seeking to make a connection with people instead of just, and sometimes when I don't like the person that much or I'm mad at the person, my tendency is to give credit to the idea instead of the person. So, you know, watching for that.
What a delightful discovery that in our human nature and our human emotions, that sometimes, oh, it's okay to validate that idea, because I don't like that person very much. I think that's just delightful self-honesty here as you reflect. And yet, what happens to us when we validate that person because of their thoughtful idea? Wow, you are spot on. Very insightful. That's the feature. As you continue to share your ideas with others in ways that elevate all of us, it helps us to be more unified, closer together. I love what you've done here, and it will help us to perform better as a team or as a unit. All of a sudden, when we give that very specific validation, it begins to change us. We become better people. It changes our connection with them. They become better people. Everything here is elevated as a result. John, we'll go to you.
Well, I'm looking back at what we talked about tonight with what we talked about last Tuesday. If you're with a person and he's in sight of you, obviously, where you're recognizing and you're doing it frequently with them, you need to have a smile. You need to show them directly and have an eye-to-eye contact. Otherwise, he's not going to take it as sincere. And then as you display sincerity and you're persisting in doing that, that's when it actually sinks in, I think, and he becomes your true friend and he's open to your respect and your advice if you need it down the road. You just bond a lot better when you have that connection.
John, beautifully articulated. You are always so thoughtful and you reach to a level beyond what we would otherwise get without your comments. And that makes your comments building and edifying for all of us and helps us all to be better performers. Thank you. I appreciate your very thoughtful insight. Look, this concludes our focus on the social, emotional, and relationship fitness dimension. I really would encourage you to get into the Integrity Sales System and take a look at that validation play. You'll be able to see it quickly in the 37 lessons mix, be able to see it very quickly and watch it together with a spouse. And talk about its value and its power and how you can use it with children, other relatives and loved ones. It does also open the door to our focus on our next dimension, financial and career fitness. This is going to be a delight as we move into July, and you're going to get a new course, the financial fitness course posted in that fourth dimension, as we talk about the importance of these skills. That course will include things that we've talked about before, like how do I establish a budget? How do I organize myself to become debt-free? How do I get into a pattern that will help me to retire with security and dignity? Everything about this course is going to elevate your security in life and elevate your performance around both career and financial fitness. So it's going to be a delight to get launched into the fourth dimension as we move into the month of July. Here's the problem. Next week on Tuesday, it happens to be the 4th of July, which in the United States, we celebrate as Independence Day. It's a national holiday. So we will not plan on being together a week from tonight. That means on the 11th, we will begin our launch into the fourth dimension and give you access to that course and begin talking about all things fourth dimension. You're going to love the tools and instruction and guidance and coaching on career and financial fitness as we launch that on July 11. Okay, with that said, I'll stay and respond to questions or comments.